Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. This is the beginning of a new year, the first Lord's Day of the new year. We want to wish everybody a happy new year. Hope this is a wonderful year for you. As Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, we press on toward the mark of Christ, a high calling in Christ Jesus. And we will do everything we can to live closer to God, be closer to one another in love, to encourage each other, help each other, pray for each other, and make this the best year spiritually that we possibly can. Let's bow before the prayer. Father, we are so grateful that we can come to you in prayer, so grateful that you gave us your Son, so grateful that you gave us the Bible. As we study it, help us to remember that the Bible is truth, that anything that disagrees with it is false. We know that Satan teaches false doctrines and false views throughout the world, and he wants nothing but to cause people to lose their souls, but help us to stay with the Word, to realize that thy Word is truth. We pray through Jesus, and amen. One more thing before we get into our lesson. Tonight is the first Sunday of the month, and so we will have our monthly singing tonight. So I hope you will come back. There are times when people say, well, it's just the singing. Well, think about that in regard to heaven. There'll be singing in heaven. And if you don't like to sing, if you don't want to praise God in song, then I have to ask you the question, do you want to go to heaven? You want to go to a place where they praise God in song throughout eternity? That's what we'll be doing. So we'll be singing tonight. It doesn't matter if you can sing or not sing. It doesn't matter if you can't carry a note in the bucket. Doesn't matter at all. You come and you sing out. That's what matters. The Bible says, make a joyful noise in thy heart. If that's what you make, some noise that's joyful, that's wonderful. For scripture reading this morning, we're going to turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we're going to move all the way down to verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. On my first trip to Russia, we were having some public Bible lectures. A young lady about 20, 21 came, and she came up to me and she said, I do not want to study the Bible, but I would like to practice my English. Would you mind talking to me so I can practice my English? I said, well, certainly, I'll do that. And she said, okay, you start. I said, okay. I said, what's the purpose of life? She turned back to me and said, purpose of life? I said, yes, what is the purpose of life? She looked down and she thought a minute and said, I've never thought about that question. What is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? She said, David, what is the purpose of life? I said, well, the Bible says, conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And in our world today, people are like this young lady. They are just kind of wandering around, have no clue or any idea of what really is the purpose of life. Young people are continually searching. They read philosophy, they read psychology, they read writers of the past, and many of them had no idea what the purpose of life is, and it just makes them more confused. I told the story once, I think it's worth repeating, about Jean-Paul Sartre. He was the leading existential writer in the 1950s and 60s, but everything in existentialism points to one thing, that life is meaningless, that you can't draw any meaning out of it. And because this happened, because he taught this to so many students in his French classes, the teacher in France, that they started committing suicide by the dozens. Students would commit suicide because there was no meaning in life. But at a certain point in his life, Jean-Paul Sartre, before he began any class at his university, the very first thing he would say is, this philosophy might lead you to conclude that you ought to take your life, but I'm begging you, don't do it. He still had several students that would still take their life, because existentialism causes that to happen. But that's really where people are. It's really the logical end of atheism. If we are just molecules in motion, if there's nothing beyond this life, if there is no God, if there's no heaven, there's no hell, if there's no real truth in life, if there isn't any such thing as right and wrong, then we're all just molecules in motion. If that's the case, then when we step on a bug, that's no different than shooting somebody in the head. And that when a log falls on a person, or a limb from a tree comes on a person, well, that's just molecules in motion. We just say, well, those molecules did that. The fact of the matter is, we are different from the bugs. We do have morality. We do have right and wrong. We can say that when a person does something that is morally wrong, that they are held responsible for it, and in many cases they are punished. There is a difference in humanity and the animals around us and all the other creatures and things there. Atheism has a pessimistic outlook. I could never be an atheist because it is so pessimistic in its outlook. Nothing is really right. There is no real beauty. There is no real right or wrong. Everything just is one pessimistic view of life. But there are reasons for us to be here. There are very good reasons for us to be here. We want to look at that this morning. Now, some people have looked at some other things and had some other ideas of why a man is here, what his purpose in life is. Some people believe our purpose in life is pleasure. Get all the fun out of it. Our country has gone fun crazy. The question isn't whether something is right or wrong. The question is whether it's fun. If it's not fun, don't do it. Take it out. If you're reading the Bible, is it fun for you? Then just don't bother reading it. If worshiping God isn't fun, then you just don't worship. If the idea of prayer is not fun, then you don't pray. Well, that's just not the case. Because people have made pleasure their number one thing. You look at the idea of alcohol. People said that this is the number one pleasure in life. And that if the more you drink, the more pleasure you get, and the better your life is. Well, the fact is, all the advertising is just a lie. Nobody ever shows a picture of Skid Row in advertising. Nobody ever talks about all the people who are in mental institutions because of alcohol. Nobody ever shows pictures of the children that are going hungry because their daddies and mamas drink themselves silly. All these things are just because of the results of alcoholism in our country. Now, I read a very interesting thing about this just last night that we have now had a conclusion, not from 2025, but 2024, that the number of alcoholics in our country has gone down. The number of people that are partaking in alcohol in our country has gone down. And that the people are now having what they're calling dry January. Yes, they were able to get drunk maybe on New Year's Eve, but now it is dry January. You don't partake of alcohol at all in the month of January. And some people are saying, yes, we have 2 months. We have sober October, and then we have dry January. Well, if you'd be sober in October, why can't you be sober in November and every other month? The point of the matter is that people have been fooled, they have been lied to by the alcoholic industry. The fact is that there are too many people who are having suffering in their families, on their jobs, in so many other areas just because of the fact they think the pleasure is in alcohol. You take another area, the area of fornication. People said, well, you know, it's nobody's business what I do with my body. Well, in one sense, that's true. But the fact of the matter is, people have been, again, lied to. They say if you just have sexual relations, you will feel better. In fact, there are some counselors in school who are saying that if a person like myself tells some people that they should not engage in sexual relations until they're married, that we, the preachers or counselors, we are the ones that have the problem. And that's just not the case. We are trying to uphold a standard of morality. We're trying to tell people that God has created man and woman in the area of pleasure, in the sexual relationship, but it's to be enjoyed in the marriage relationship and not with every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes along.
That's right.
Solomon sought sexual pleasure. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3, that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, the wives may have been, many scholars think a lot of those 700 wives were political wives. Some may not have ever seen all those 700 women. We don't know exactly. But we do know that when the Bible says they had 300 concubines, the concubine was kind of like a second-class wife that you had just for sexual purposes. In other words, Solomon had 300 women that were there just for his sexual desires. And yet, he says in the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanity, all is vanities. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he said, I said in my heart, go to now, I'll prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. He said, but behold, this also is vanity. Solomon was trying to say, where can I find purpose in life? Where can I find happiness in life? And he said, all of it is vanity. Now, God's people ought to be happy. When we read the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, that word blessed really means happy. And the Bible has much to say about happiness. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I'll say, rejoice. You know, God's people are to be a happy people. The Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing after he was baptized. So many wonderful passages deal with happiness. The fact that happiness is not found in pleasure alone. Many things are pleasurable, but we have to also remember the Bible talks about how sin has pleasure. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that the pleasure of sin is for a season. It's a temporary pleasure. It's long on promises, short on delivery. But then some people say, well, it may not be in pleasure itself, but real purpose in life is in money, your wealth. Every waking hour is spent to say, how can I get more and more money? How can I just produce more in my job and more in my situation? Wherefore, I can just be happier by earning more money. There have even been some times when people have told young men, don't go into preaching. Because if you go into preaching, you'll never make a lot of money. And that's true. You're not going to make money in preaching. But what they're really saying is that money is what's important. Not the salvation of souls, not the proclamation of the Word of God, not the giving out of the gospel of Christ, not helping mankind, not helping people to find Jesus Christ and know the Bible. What's important is how much money you make. And you're not going to make it in preaching, so don't do that. And I would say that is a lie. That is a lie. There was a brother over in Arkansas who was told by somebody, you are going to ruin your business by talking religion. And the brother said, my business is to serve my Lord and my God. This store that I run is just a side part of it, pay the bills. But my real business is to serve God. And that brother had it right. We are to do God's will in life. Remember, I quoted that line from Christmas Carol, that when Scrooge says to Jake, the ghost of Jake Marley, you were always good in business. Marley yells back, business, business, mankind is our business. More things are important than money. Yes, we need money. Yes, money is necessary for life, but the purpose of life is not to make money. And yet we have been, again, lied to because the world says how much money you make determines how valuable you are and how important you are. You just think about all the people who decided or tried to at one time or another run for president, but they couldn't do it because they didn't have enough money. Then somebody comes along and they're a billionaire and all of a sudden they've got the money to run for president. People think that person must be important because he's got all this money. The fact of the matter is, money is important, money is necessary, but it's not the purpose of life. The Bible does say the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The Bible does have a lot to say about rich people. Abraham was rich, Job was rich, others were rich. But the fact is, money itself is not the purpose. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and chapter 5, Solomon said this, neither is the eye satisfied with riches. He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loves abundance with increase. That also is a vanity. People think, well, if I just get a little bit more, that'll make me happy. If I'm making so much, if I just make another 100 a week, another 200 a week, another 300 a week, another 500 a week, another 1,000 a week, if I just get that much, I'll be happy. You can kiss a dollar bill all you want, but it won't kiss back.
That's right.
Many things are more important than money. And then popularity. Some people think, well, popularity. There have actually been situations when Christian women have encouraged their daughters to do anything to become popular. If you have to dress it modestly, show a little skin, show a little body, that's all right. You'll attract the boys. Never mind what the Bible says about modesty. The fact of the matter is, what the Proverbs says, like a gold ring in a swine's snout, is a beautiful woman without discretion. And women need to be taught how to be modest. They need to be taught that standards of right and wrong are what is important, and not whether you can attract every guy on the football team or in high school or whatever it might be. People have the idea, well, if I just get people to look up to me, if I'm just popular, well, the Bible says straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Broad is the gate, wide is the gate that leads to the destruction of many that be that go in thereat. And then power. Some people think, if I can just control people. I knew a man that could control every meeting he went into. He's a member of the church and every business meeting. He could control it. He knew he could control it. I've known two people like that in my life. One was an elder, one was a man in a business meeting. It was just incredible that they wanted to control that situation. Some fellow asked me one day, he said, why does he always want to be in control? I said, I'm not sure why. I just know it's wrong. And people in the world have seen this. 50 million people died in World War II because of a megalomaniac they made off Hitler. Joseph Stalin killed about 25 million of his own people to take control of Russia. Napoleon died a broken man because he just couldn't control Europe. And time after time, people, emperor, kings, and others have just gone down in history because they just could not control mankind. We need to remember that to serve is what Jesus said makes a man great. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is who that would be servant of all. Now, what is the real purpose of life? If it's not pleasure, if it's not money, if it's not popularity, if it's not power, control, what really is the purpose of life? It comes down to what Solomon said. Solomon had this great experiment in the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapters 1 through 11. He tries everything you can imagine. He tries to build houses. He tries to plant gardens. He tries the sexual experiment. He tries to be in control. He tries money. He tries everything. And nothing gives him satisfaction. Nothing makes him happy. And he comes to the very conclusion of it and says, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. He'd even tried worship. He had gone and made thousands of sacrifices. He said, but that didn't satisfy me. Just sitting there, seeing all those sacrifices. What it really came down to, fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole purpose of life. Now, what does that mean? That means that when it comes to every aspect of life, we're going to say, I'm going to fear God and keep his commandments. When it comes to the church, what I want isn't what's important. What does God say in his word? Fear God and keep his commandments. When it comes to the home, men are going to love their wives because the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Don't dominate. Don't be the boss. Don't be the one who says, I've got to be in control and give answers for everything. Love your wives. It says, as Christ loved the church. The Bible also tells us wives to love their husbands and to be in subjection to them. The Bible tells us parents to raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm going to do that because that's fearing God and keeping his commandments. When it comes to the community, I'm going to be the best citizen I can possibly be because I'm going to fear God and keep his commandments. When it comes to things, clubs or associations I might be in, I'm going to do what's right, but I'm still going to fear God and keep his commandments. If people want to do something on a Sunday morning, I'll say, well, I'll see you Sunday afternoon because I'm going to go to worship. Because I'm going to fear God and keep his commandments. We need to teach our young people, fear God and keep his commandments. That when it comes to school, there's no such thing as cheating in school. When it comes to telling the truth, that we always tell the truth. That there's no such thing as a little white lie. Lying is lying. It is dishonest. That we make sure that people understand that even in the various sports, the people have to be honest and tell the truth and play according to what the rules say. That no matter what the world is saying, we are going to do what God has said in His Word. Now we are surrounded, totally surrounded, by a world that really has no standards. A world that sometimes says, oh yes, we believe in truth, we believe in honesty, we believe in this, we believe in that. One lady, a senator, a U.S. senator, voted against gun control for every bill that had been brought up to the U.S. Senate. Every single bill, the senator voted against it. She was a senator from California. Then one day, she was walking into the U.S. Senate. She dropped her purse. What popped out of her purse? But a handgun. Somebody said to her, Senator Boxer, how come you're carrying a handgun? She said, well, for protection, of course. Protection for her, but not for anybody else. Nobody else could have a handgun, but she could have one and carry it around in the Capitol. Fact is, we have dishonesty, we have insincerity, we have hypocrisy all around us. It is up to our responsibility to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. To tell people, yes, I'm going to fear God, I'm going to keep His commandments. And if the world doesn't like it, that's just too bad. That when it comes to doing what's right, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what Paul said, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. I'm going to build my life on the foundation of Christ, because Paul said, for other foundation can no man lay than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. That Christ comes first, whether it be in the home, whether it be in my work, whether it be in my community, whatever it might be, Christ comes first. I'm going to fear God and keep His commandments. If we do this, and one day we'll hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Now we're going to sing the invitation hymn. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do it this morning. You believe in Jesus as the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins, and confess your faith in Christ, put Him on with waters of baptism, why not do that this morning? If as a child of God, you realize you need to rededicate your life, why not come home this morning? Do what the Lord wants you to do. Rededicate your life, we'll pray with you and for you, God will forgive you. Maybe you have a need for some other need in prayer, whatever it may be, however we can help. We invite you to come and encourage you to come. We want you to come while we stand.